ADD Nation. One manifestation of dukkha and dis-ease, increasingly prevalent in this era, is attention deficit disorder, ADD for short. ADD is a serious dysregulation in the process of attention itself. It occurs in both children and adults. Since meditation has everything to do with the cultivation of our capacity to pay attention, you might think that the meditative perspective could shed light on possible ways to prevent or treat this condition, and indeed that is the case. But it might also be worth stating that from the perspective of the meditative traditions, the entire society suffers from attention deficit disorder, big time, and from its most prevalent variant, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Our way of life across suburban and rural communities tends to be insular and isolating. Even urban neighborhood culture tends to be isolating, lonely, and insecure nowadays. Children watch hour upon hour of television or disappear into computer games rather than play in neighborhoods, in part simply to ensure their safety, in part out of habit, addiction, and boredom. Many studies are showing that active social engagement is on the decline in children, and as adults, we may no longer know our neighbors, and we certainly don't depend on them as earlier generations did. It is the rare neighborhood that is a true community nowadays. Even in families, many parents of young children are often so stressed, so preoccupied, and so infernally busy that they are at high risk for not being present for their children, even when they are physically present. Parents are so chronically overwhelmed that they may not even see their children clearly in many moments, or even think to pick up and hold the little ones when they are distressed. So no one is getting the amount of attention they need and deserve. The relentless acceleration of our way of life over the past few generations has made focusing in on anything at all something of a lost art. That loss has been compounded by the digital revolution, which rapidly found its way into our everyday lives in the form of home computers, fax machines, beepers, cell phones, palm devices, laptops, the internet, and the World Wide Web, and of course, email, now all increasingly wireless, not that long ago an unthinkable dream, the stuff of science fiction. For all the undeniable convenience, usefulness, access, efficiency, improved coordinating, information, entertainment, and ease of shopping, banking, and communication these digital developments bring with them, this colossal technological revolution that has barely even begun has already irreversibly transfigured how we live our lives. All this threatens to erode our ability and inclination to sustain attention, and thereby to know things in a deep way before initiating some kind of action. We see this lack of attention when, on email, we click send only in the next second to remember that we forgot to attach what we just said we would, or decide we really didn't want to say what we just did, or that we really wanted to say something we didn't, but it's already gone. It is telling and actually tragic that large numbers of young children are now being medicated for ADD and ADHD. Could it be that in many of these cases it is the adults who are entraining the children into distraction and hyperactivity, if such behaviors are not actually normative for these times, and therefore, strictly speaking, normal under the circumstances? Maybe the children's behavior is only a symptom of a much more pervasive dis-ease of family life and life in general in this era, as is likely the case for the rampant obesity epidemic we are seeing in children and adults. Perhaps in some cases the children are not really suffering from ADD at all, at least before they get cell phones and instant messaging. They may be just normal children with a lot of energy, as some temperaments exhibit, but they may now be perceived, even diagnosed as classroom problems, behavioral deviance with ADD or ADHD, because the adults no longer have the time or inclination or patience to deal consistently with the normal exuberance and challenges of childhood. Emptiness. A rabbi during high holiday services was overcome with a sense of oneness and connectedness with the universe and with God. Transported in a sudden state of ecstasy, he exclaimed, "O Lord, I am your servant. You are everything. I am nothing." The cantor, deeply moved in his heart, exclaimed in turn, "O Lord, I am nothing." Then the janitor of the synagogue, deeply moved himself, was heard to exclaim, "O Lord, I am nothing." At which the rabbi leaned over to the cantor and whispered, "Look who thinks he's nothing." And so it goes in our perpetual attempts to define ourselves as somebodies rather than nobodies, perhaps suspecting deep down that we really are nobodies and our lives, no matter what our accomplishments, are built on shifting sands with no firm foundation or perhaps no ground at all. Robert Fuller, in a highly elegant analysis in the book Somebodies and Nobodies, sees this tension in ourselves and between each other as the fundamental motive force behind the social and political ills of violence, racism, sexism, fascism, anti-Semitism, and ageism plaguing the world. His solution? What he calls dignitarianism. That we treat everyone as having the same fundamental dignity that transcends their standing and accomplishments, which are, he argues cogently, as does Jared Diamond in Guns, Germs, and Steel, in large part more a matter of accident, opportunity, and geography than anything else. If we think we are somebody, no matter who we are mistaken. And if we think we are nobody, we are equally mistaken.